93.5, 95.3, Connect FM.
On Fridays, we wind down the week laughing because we would be crying with all that's going on. We say good morning to you, my alum and political humorist and satirist, Bill Melberg. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Stevie.
Good morning, Diane.
Hello.
And good morning, Connect FM listeners.
Well, Bill, the Illinois primary behind us, we had quite a time leading up to it, didn't we?
Stevie and Diane, last Friday, frontrunner Mitt Romney launched a devastating series of negative attack ads on radio and television all across the state. The ads savaged Romney's chief rival here in Illinois, conservative Rick Santorum. The barrage of negative attack ads continued throughout the weekend, with millions of dollars being spent by Team Romney in the Chicago market alone. And the Romney campaign stepped up their robocall blitz, disturbing the lives of thousands of Illinois citizens on an otherwise peaceful Sunday. On Monday, Governor Romney continued his all-out assault on Senator Santorum via radio, television, and telephone, much to the annoyance of people across the state. The Romney campaign did remind Rick Santorum's supporters to be sure and go to the polls to vote on Wednesday, which could explain why so few Santorum supporters showed up at the polls to vote on Tuesday. In fact, this year's Illinois primary produced a record low turnout. Some pundits say that low turnout was the result of so many people being so turned off by Team Romney's negative campaign tactics. Whatever the cause, Mitt Romney won a decisive victory here in Illinois on Tuesday. But Rick Santorum is looking for a double-digit win of his own in Louisiana tomorrow. And so, Stevie and Diane, the battle goes on.
Wow. I don't know about you, Bill, but I'm glad the Illinois primary is over. I think those robocalls are driving all of us a little crazy.
Well, I'll tell you something, Stevie and Diane. One of my neighbors went over the edge after getting one too many unsolicited political robocalls.
Really?
In fact, some friends and I happened to be visiting my neighbor when he got that call.
Hmm.
And just by chance, we had a video camera running, which captured his reaction. Here it is.
So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
Well, he was mad.
Yeah.
All kidding aside, I do think those negative robocalls really do annoy people, including yours truly.
Yeah.
And they might, in fact, turn away more voters than they attract. They're very, very annoying.
Something else is annoying people in the small town of Clintonville, Wisconsin. It's northwest of Green Bay. Now, as we hear in this news report from Jenny Evans at WGBA-TV in Green Bay.
It felt like my front door was being, trying to be kicked in. It was, my apartment was shaking.
Well, round three of more shakes and booms in Clintonville as residents worry the worst is yet to come. A good morning. I'm Jenny Evans. For the third night in a row, unexplained ground shaking has leaders in Clintonville scratching their heads. In our big story, city officials remain at a loss over what this could be. Several theories have been ruled out, including water, other utilities, even an earthquake. The city isn't ordering any evacuations, but some say they are considering leaving town. The booms began early Monday morning, continued Tuesday morning, and came back once again early this morning. Hmm. City leaders are now weighing all their options to figure out the source.
We're trying to do everything that we can, but if there is something that we can spend some amount of money on that would really make sense and be able to answer questions, we certainly would do that.
The city is hosting a public meeting on the issue tonight at 6 in the Clintonville High School auditorium. Residents will be allowed to ask questions about what's going on.
All right, joining us now is Professor Peter Laurie of the Unusual Phenomena Studies Department at the Institute of Advanced Learning and Paranormal Research. Good morning, Professor Laurie.
Good morning, Mr. J.
Please call me Stevie.
All right, Stevie. And please call me Professor.
Professor, if I may call you that. Before we begin our conversation, allow me to introduce our other guest. He's a Nobel Prize winner and a man who has studied scientific phenomena himself. Former Vice President Al Gore.
Good morning, Stevie. Good morning, Diane.
Hello.
Good morning, Professor Laurie.
Gentlemen, let's begin our conversation with Professor Laurie. Professor, what do you think is happening in Clintonville, Wisconsin? What's causing the strange booms and rattles that people are hearing and feeling in the middle of the night?
Well, Stevie, first of all, I should tell you that I don't have enough information to give you a proper answer, not even an educated guess. However, the authorities did hold a press conference in Clintonville last night, suggesting that a series of small earthquakes have been responsible for the noise and the shaking. But not everyone is accepting that explanation, including some scientists like me.
Professor, can't you give us a little informed speculation? I mean, surely you must have some idea what's happening in Clintonville.
No, I don't. And please, don't call me Shirley. But if it's informed speculation that you want, I will say this. There's a possibility that the noise could be related to isostatic rebounding as glacial ice shifts beneath the surface. Frostquakes are another possibility. You see, frostquakes are related to the sudden expansion or contraction of thawing rock or soil. That could be producing the booms and the rattles.
Vice President Al Gore, did you want to say something, sir?
Yes, I did, Stevie. What he just said is a bunch of hogwash. I think the first thing we need to think about is the unusual weather we've been having in recent weeks, especially in the upper Midwest. I don't need to tell you what the temperatures have been like as of late because Diane's been reporting them every day.
Are you suggesting that the cause of these strange noises in Clintonville, Wisconsin, is related to global warming?
No. I'm suggesting that those noises and those temperatures are related to something that I've mentioned on your program before, Stevie. The coming alien space invasion and the underground alien command post beneath the Denver International Airport.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about the space aliens, Stevie. They've finally done it. They've increased the Earth's average temperature to match that of their own planet. So now their evil invasion can begin. There's no doubt in my mind that the space aliens have built another regional command post underneath the city of Clintonville, Wisconsin. And the noises the people are hearing and the shaking that they're feeling is undoubtedly related to the automatic activation process of that underground command post set off by the unusually warm weather. It's diabolical. Soon, the space aliens will snatch the bodies of the people of Clintonville. Oh, they'll look like ordinary Green Bay Packer fans, but they'll really be outer space aliens, indistinguishable from average cheeseheads. It's terrible, Stevie, just terrible.
Well, what advice would you give the people of Clintonville?
People of Clintonville, run for your lives!
Professor Laurie, what do you think?
I think Vice President Al Gore is a lunatic.
Well, on that note, thank you, Professor Laurie, Professor Peter Laurie, for your informed speculation.
You're welcome,
and,
Stevie.
And thank you, former Vice President Al Gore.
You're welcome, Stevie.
For your insane rants and raves. Thank you, sir.
Uh-huh.
But now it's time for our regular point-counterpoint team of Senator John McCain, Republican of Arizona, and Congressman Barney Frank, Democrat, Massachusetts. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Stevie, my friend. Good morning, Diane, my friend.
Hi.
Hello, Stevie. Hello, Diane.
Hi.
Hello, Connect FM listeners.
Gentlemen, shortly after Mitt Romney's big win on Tuesday, one of his senior campaign advisors, Eric Fernstrom, gave a rather unusual answer to a rather basic question. Let's take a listen to his remarks, and then we'll get your comments.
Good morning, sir. It's fair to say that John McCain was considerably a more moderate candidate than the ones that Governor Romney faces now. Is there a concern that the pressure from Santorum and Gingrich might force the governor to tack so far to the right it would hurt him with moderate voters in the general election?
Well, I think you hit a reset button for the fall campaign. Everything changes. It's almost like an Etch-a-Sketch. You can kind of shake it up and we start all over again.
All right, Senator McCain, you're supporting Governor Romney. So what do you think of that Etch-a-Sketch remark?
Stevie, my friend, I think you ought to turn your Etch-a-Sketch upside down, shake it up, and write a different question. As for me, I don't speak for Mitt Romney or for his dopey campaign spokesman.
Congressman Barney Frank?
Stevie and Diane and our Connect FM listeners, that's the sort of remark that has many conservative Republicans and liberal Democrats very worried about Mitt Romney. He says one thing one day and another thing the next day. Is he really a conservative, as he tells Republican voters in the primaries? Or is he really a Massachusetts liberal, as he might be telling independent voters in the fall? Who is the real Mitt Romney?
Well, that, no doubt, is a question the voters in Louisiana will be asking themselves as they go to the polls in the Bayou State tomorrow. And on that note, we say goodbye to Senator John McCain and Congressman Barney Frank. And when we come back, political humorist Bill Melberg will have a special song for us to usher in the spring. Stay tuned. Connect FM 93.5, 95.3.
Goodbye, Joe.
In just a moment to conclude our political satirist, Bill Melberg, and eveningwiththepresidents.com. It's 8:50. Time for the Wall Street Journal. We have spring, and I understand you have a special song for us to usher in the spring.
Yes, that's right, Stevie and Diane. You might remember the neighbor I told you about who went off the deep end because of all the political robocalls that he was getting?
Yep.
Well, he went to an anger management class on Wednesday, and his instructor suggested that he find a more productive outlet for his anger. Music, for instance. And so my neighbor proceeded to write and perform a beautiful little song for his anger management classmates to help usher in the spring and the warm weather, and here it is.
I'd like to take you now on wings of song, as it were, and try and help you forget, perhaps for a while, your drab, wretched lives. Here's a song all about springtime in general, and in particular about one of the many delightful pastimes that the coming of spring affords us all. Spring is here, a spring is here. Life is Skittles and life is beer. I think the loveliest time of the year is the spring. I do, don't you? Of course you do. But there's one thing that makes spring complete for me and makes every Sunday a treat for me. All the world seems in tune on a spring afternoon when we're poisoning pigeons in the park. Sunday you'll see my sweetheart and me as we poison the pigeons in the park. When they see us coming, the birdies all try and hide, but they still go for peanuts when coated with cyanide. The sun's shining bright, everything seems all right when we're poisoning pigeons in the park. La la. Notoriety and cause much anxiety in the Audubon Society with our games. They call it impiety and lack of propriety and quite a variety of unpleasant names. But it's not against any religion to want to dispose of a pigeon. So if someday you're free, why don't you come with me and we'll poison the pigeons in the park. Maybe we'll do in a squirrel or two while we're poisoning pigeons in the park. We'll murder them all amid laughter and merriment Except for the few we take home to experiment. My pulse will be quickening with each drop of strychnine we feed to a pigeon. It just takes a smidgen to poison a pigeon in the park.
I think your neighbor still got some needs with his anger manager problem. I'm sure.
well, Stevie and Diane, that of course was really Tom Lehrer, the Harvard math professor and comedy songwriter who wrote that rather off the wall song nearly 60 years ago.
How many?
60 years
ago.
Oh,
man.
And needless to say, it did not earn him PETA's Man of the Year Award. But after all of the campaign ads and robocalls that the people of Louisiana are now enduring, they might be singing that song way down yonder in New Orleans by the time their primary election comes to an end tomorrow night.
That's right. Well, it's always a pleasure, Bill. We appreciate you and your talent. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I do want to point out, by the way, that I feed the birds and squirrels every day.
Good.
Thank you, Bill Melberg. Good evening with the presidents.com and evening with the presidents.com. And we're out of time. Diane, we'll meet you Monday.
Enjoy the weekend.
Thank you so much. I'm Stevie J. We'll meet back on Monday. We'll keep track of this Illinois basketball coach's search. Whatever you want to call this thing, it's just everybody's out there searching for answers and trying to figure everything out. Tay and Jay will be up after The Herd and Scott Van Pelt, and then we'll get you some hopeful answers later on today. I'm Stevie J from Champaign. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend.
For generations, from fathers to their sons and daughters, then to their children, fans have learned about America's pastime by listening to Cardinals baseball. For us in the Midwest, it's part of our identity. It's Harry Carey, Jack Buck, Mike Shannon, moments in time that live with us forever because of what we heard on our radio. We'll make more memories this season. Listen to Cardinals baseball on WSJK Tuscola, WJEK Rantoul, and on MyConnectFM.com. We're going for 12 in 12.